Hey, welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic, broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York, 6:26 p.m. on a rather overcast Sunday evening for you, another pre-recorded show. We're still doing our thing and will be for the foreseeable future, so I have to do these sort of podcasts. Good training for me. I haven't done what we used to call in the business, voice imaging. And we used to send it over ISDN lines to stations remotely around the country whenever the need arose. So I was watching the PGA Tour. It's pretty good. You know, I'm starting to get into golf, I guess, in my old age. I haven't done it, but I know a lot of guys that actually play, and I'm really tempted to invest in a set of clubs. And I was reading an article, and maybe somebody emailed me. Those that want to know more about what we do, by the way, can go to www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net, and I haven't, you know, again, just send me an email or a text or something like that. All our contact information is up on the homepage. So at any rate, I haven't actually gone out yet, but you know, I was reading an article, you know, about it. Whenever I, you know, my time is extraordinarily limited, and I'm probably just talking. I probably won't do it. I just literally don't have the time. But it says that, you know, before you get into bad habits, and I know this is true because muscle has memory, you should invest in a pro. You know, a golf pro. Most golf courses have a pro on staff, somebody that they retain contractually, and they charge you a buck, buck 20, you know, buck 50, depending on the club, you know, to take you through the finer points of golfing, you know, for a beginner. So if I ever decide that that's the route I want to go, I definitely want to go that route before I, you know, it can be expensive, just like anything else, you know, it can depending on your level of interest, it can become real expensive, extraordinarily quick. So, you know, I want to ensure that if I do decide to go that route, that I have prepared adequately before I did so. Have a lot of news to talk about. You know, I was discussing with my significant other over the weekend. I think it occurred Thursday or Friday. I was coming in from class, or maybe I was in class because a lot of students had taken off. You know, they're all adults, so they come and go as they please, and that's fine. And I tell them that they're going to be on the wrong side of the digital divide, but, you know, without sounding too preachy. At any rate, I was reading a startling article out of Madison County, Mississippi. And it seems to have occurred at a Wegmans down there. A young woman had gone into Wegmans at apparently 1-ish in the morning, and left her child in a running car. So three people drive up. You know, this is after, you know, they the police had conducted their investigation. One of the people jumped into the car and took off. So once the woman realized that her car was missing, then she immediately reported to the security guard, who was also a police officer. In a lot of jurisdictions in the United States, they hire off-duty policemen, obviously, because they, you know, are licensed to carry handguns or are trained in the use of force and that sort of thing, for the most part. So anyway, long story short, they recovered the vehicle and found the young child in the backseat with a bullet hole in his head, 6 years old, African-American. The mother is African-American. Three youths involved were African-American, two 17-year-old and one 19-year-old. And I know that the racists will come out of the woodwork claiming that we in the progressive community generally, and the African-American community particularly, doesn't proclaim our shock at instances of brutality and senseless violence such as this. But we do. And I'm going on a record here at Marketing Pulpit International New York edition to say that I'm utterly astounded, shocked, beyond belief. I mean, it's just it's indescribable, the the depth of grief I feel, for this mother, for this lost child, and for these three youths. I mean, what in the world were they thinking? Since when does being in the wrong place at the wrong time result in a death sentence? And we know it happens, and that's fine. But I was listening to another show, I think earlier today on my way back from worship, and a gentleman called into the show's host saying something to the effect of, why don't we ever talk about that? And the host responded, well, we do. And we do. We do in Black Radio. We talk a great deal about the violence in our community. And, what was said in response was, well, I don't hear it. And the host responded, well, you're not listening very well. And obviously, the caller was not listening very well to any of us in the business, because obviously you have to get your own house in order before others will respect you. And I emphasize this a lot. I don't deal with it from the Cosby perspective of take responsibility and pull yourself up by your bootstrap and this foolishness, because everybody gets a helping hand. And I talk about this often on the Marketing Pulpit, that we all need helping hands, and persons that say that they've never received a helping hand, they've never gotten a handout, they're lying, flat out. They're telling a brazen, bald-faced lie. Everyone at some point in their life, whether it's personally, professionally, gets a hand. Now, I think the issue is whether that hand remains stuck out, or you use the help that you were provided to do something positive, productive, certainly, and give back. But back to this appalling story. I was shocked beyond belief. I mean, it just really impacted. And my son is relatively young, a little older than this child, but not much. And I can tell you, my soul cried for his mother, who they showed in some of the pictures being carried. Literally, she had collapsed and was incapable of ambulation. I mean, it's really appalling. And the question comes to mind, and I know I'm airing dirty laundry, listening audience, but where were the parents? I mean, these are three young guys, I would just love to interview these kids, and what could they have possibly been thinking? That child could have been left anywhere. He could have been left at the supermarket, and someone would have probably took him in and, asked, well, where's your mother, your father, a guardian, or call the police or something. What in the world could possibly justify? It's just unmitigated evil. And I don't think it has, and I know for a fact that it doesn't have anything to do with race. It's just sheer unmitigated evil. It has nothing to do with stupidity, because no one is stupid enough to blow someone's head off for being in a stolen car. You just don't do things like that. I mean, there is absolutely, it's absolutely unfathomable. And I can tell you that we're going to be delving a little more into this story, because I was just you know, it just doesn't make sense for our community to keep going on like this and expect to get the results that we want to get in terms of respect from the larger society for the time being. And in regard to truly innocent black folks who are being gunned down like animals because of imbeciles like this who decide to go out in the community and take a young child's life for absolutely no reason, for no reason. There is no way that that child would identify those boys. And even if he would have, so what? You did the crime, you do the time. But beyond that, how much time can you possibly get for a stolen car? Granted, it is Mississippi, but you know what? Heck, you should have thought about that before you jumped in the car. So I just wanted to shed some light on that because, you know, we in the media, especially in the black media, catch a lot of flack because we don't talk a lot or enough, according to some in our own community. You know, because we're ignorant. A lot of us are ignorant. I gotta keep it real, folk. A lot of us are really dismally ill-informed. And we do talk about this stuff. You know, I was talking about another instance unrelated to this tragedy where a gentleman was in the barbershop that I used to go to. I no longer go to this barbershop. It's not for that reason. It's just out of the way. There's no reason for me to go. Well, there's no reason for me to go over in that particular area anymore. There's still a reason for me to go over there, but, you know, another part of time. That is neither here nor there. At any rate, he comes in and, you know, he's championing, Chump, the brain dead comic Carnival Barker. And I was like, is this guy kidding? And you hear a lot of ignorance like this, even though, you know, us in New York know that the guy is nothing but a BS artist. That's all he's ever been. He's a racist. He took out full paid ad in the mid 80s. I remember this, the late 80s, I think it was. It wasn't the mid 80s because I believe I was almost out of school, if not out of school at the time. And that would have made it the late 80s. And basically called for the death penalty against, I think it was six at the time. Young black men and young black and Hispanic men who were on the other side of the park robbing somebody. But they were accused of raping a young white woman on another side of the park. And apparently or allegedly gave confessions and Trump called them animals and they were wild. I remember the story eminently well. And took out full page ads and all the major media, print media in New York City. And called for their execution. I hate them. And up until this day, these guys have since been exonerated, acquitted. And finally, when we got Giuliani and Bloomberg out of office, Mayor de Blasio ordered the Corporation Council to settle that case, which is 20 years in the making. And at any rate, they didn't want to settle for obvious reasons, you know, because, like I said, they were on the other side of the park robbing somebody at the time they were accused of raping this young woman. And then, you know, they get exculpatory evidence in the form of another inmate, a Hispanic man, who was incarcerated at the time, and they matched his DNA, and Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker's excuse was, well, maybe they acted in concert. Well, if they acted in concert, where is their DNA at? And where is the evidence that more than one participant raped this woman? So, you know, so much nonsense. So at any rate, you know, to support him, you have to be brain dead, literally. And any black person that does support him is brain dead, period. Let's take a break, come back on the other side of the break, finish talking about what I want to talk about today, if I can find my commercial. And I have a huge screen, but I often cannot find the commercials that I need to find. So we're back here on the Marketing Pulpit International. New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman. I was talking on the other side of the break about this this unfathomable tragedy that occurred in Madison County, Mississippi. You know, a young woman goes in the store early morning, wee hours of the morning, you know, one-ish, one-something. And to grab something, leaves her child in the back seat, either sleeping. I imagine he had to have been asleep, which is why she didn't want to wake him to take him into the store. You know, it's just, it saddens me just to talk about it. And I was talking to my significant other about it, and she didn't even, she couldn't even listen to the story. So, you know, really horrible. So this I'm sure they laid the child at rest already. I will, you know, I personally want to keep up with this story because they've already charged these young boys with capital murder in Mississippi, obviously. You know, it's the death sentence, and they go to Parchment Prison. They will be put to death 20 years from now when they're well into their 30s. But it just illustrates something that we don't like to discuss in the African-American community, but we do. We do it reluctantly, and certainly in print media and broadcasting, we talk about it a great deal. And we need to get ourselves together. And you know what happened? I was talking to a friend of mine. Well, he's not a friend. Actually, he's a student. And we were... You know, he's really hungry to learn IT and that sort of thing. And he comes from an area in which, you know, slang is used liberally spiced with profanity. And in class, he'll be explaining something. He's very, very skilled. I mean, I've been able to take him through, you know, really advanced IT skills, you know, advanced networking, subnetting, you know, assigning IPs and that sort of thing. I don't even do it as an aside. It's not really my field. My field is social and behavioral science and law. And but, you know, doing radio broadcasting and production and that sort of thing, you know, I've acquired those skills over the years, and they really advanced to the degree where I'm able to teach these things. So I was telling him about, you know, and I don't, you know, a lot of guys my age, you know, they want to dye their hair and all this stuff, and you know, that's great, man. I don't begrudge anyone how they comport themselves. You know, I like to dress nice too. You know, I'm not a metrosexual. I'm not feminized in any way. That's all that means. And you know, a man is in touch, quote unquote, with his feminine side. But you know, I like a nice off the rack as opposed to bespoke, who couldn't afford one. I don't believe, you know, $1,000, $2,000, something like that. That's what they're running now. So I, you know, I wear some good off the rack suits, well tailored, and, I keep them clean and pressed and that sort of thing. And I was telling them that, you know, listen, if you want to be successful, you got to dress for the part. And beyond that, you're on the right side of the digital divide. That was the big, you know, marketing point for me, to him. And I was just trying to get him to understand that, you know, employing that sort of language, you know, you're getting the hard skills, but you have to have the soft skills to get you in the door. So it's a combination of the both, and you got to use both of them tactically and strategically in an endeavor to get you into a position where you're making the type of money that you envision you can make in the very near future. And he's a young guy. He's 30 years old, and you know, so he's not a spring chicken, but he's not middle aged by any means, stretch of the imagination. But he really has to get himself together, because I notice it's ingrained when you You've been talking like that all your life. I mean, you're not gonna be using proper administrative English and not slurring your speech and yeah, you know what I'm saying, and that sort of thing. And so he'll, hopefully he'll, he's trying. I know he's trying, because because he's willing to listen, and that's all that matters, when you have somebody that's receptive. But the other part of it that I was telling him, and I often say this, and I've said it a lot, I've written about it a great deal. I don't want to call it my magnum opus. I'm trying to finish this book, but I had an essay that I wrote many, many years ago. It's called "Are Black Folks," and a good friend of mine, well-known journalist in New York City, published it in Herb Boyd, in a publication that we were both affiliated with. I had a byline in a publication at the time, and Herb published it for me. And I talk a lot about the civil rights movement, and other intellectuals and other pundits have also spoken about this issue. But I really feel that, Michelle Alexander, she talks a lot about this. And I was telling this young man that, when I was growing up, this is the absolute truth, this is not hyperbole. It was a principal around the corner. It was a pharmacist that had a store on the main street in the town I grew up at. And it was a lawyer. And all those people went on to bigger and better things. I know the lawyer became a judge out there where I grew up, and the pharmacist wound up opening. He had a store at the time when I was growing up, and he downsized, but he was still very prominent. Dr. Greenlee, I'll never forget him. I remember the lawyer. I can't think of his name. It doesn't come to mind as quickly as Dr. Greenlee does. But it was a lot of prominent African Americans that I watched my parents, who were uneducated by any mean stretch of the imagination, by any objective measure, they were uneducated, barely got out of grade school, and I don't think they even went, to be frank. And I was telling them, those are my role models. So those are the people that I emulated. They straightened me out just like my parents would. I mean, they didn't beat me or anything like that, or, but they certainly, checked us when we were growing up. And, unfortunately, during the civil rights movement, late 60s, certainly, a lot of those people fled. And this is a lot what my book has to talk about. A lot of those people fled those communities. And so there are very few role models, if any, left. And as a direct consequence, these kids don't have any role models. So, you get a kid like this, 30-something year old that's, has all the hard skills necessary to be successful, to support his daughter, and become a productive member of the community, and he sounds like a thug. There's no one that's going to hire him, and I tell him that constantly. So that's something that we got to deal with, and I deal with it, within the framework of my job, because it's part of my job, actually, to impart soft skills into these kids. But I do it, voluntarily as well. Let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break. Hey, you're tuned into the Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on the mic, Sunday evening, 6:51 on a rather overcast and humid Sunday evening. So I was talking about this young man I've been mentoring, you know, I he's not even in my class, but there's another instructor up there, black guy, young himself, you know. It's just incredible. I really don't even want to talk about it because, you know, I'm on air, and most people can easily identify me through my LinkedIn page. So I don't want to cast aspersions on other colleagues. But at any rate, you know, that's what I've been doing with this young man. I think that's what we need to do a lot more of. And I'm not saying there aren't black men out there doing that. There are. There are tons of them. Unfortunately, there is not enough. I don't know what happened to these young men. I would be speculating. But whatever happened to them that turned them into the monsters that they... Because any single one of them, not only the shooter, but the rest of them could have stopped the shooter from killing that young boy. And they didn't. They stood there and watched as they executed a beautiful little black boy, much like themselves, cut his life short for no other reason than he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we're going to stop this foolishness, and I certainly am going to do my part, and I'm going to be talking a lot about this more over the coming weeks, because I wasn't shocked into action. I've been doing what I've been doing for 20, 25, 30 years. But, you know, that really, I don't want to say incentivized me, but it really motivated me to do more. And I am going to do more. And I'm going to do it right here on the Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition. We'll be back next week and hope that you tune in for another exciting edition of the Marketing Pulpit. And hopefully I'll be back. So keep it tuned in right where you got it, and have a wonderful weekend.